confusing topics.
Yeah, you can't do that.
Oh, no?
No, you gotta do something else, man.
Welcome to Fusing Topics with the McCulka Group. We're down here at 275 Route 79 in Morganville, or you can reach us here at 855 McCulka. What are we going to talk about today, Pete? Yeah.
Johnny, I think that we are going to talk first about the fact that we're giving away a generator.
We are.
We're giving away some t-shirts.
T-shirts.
We're working with 1063
Thunder
to give away some money.
Yeah, we are.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So you guys definitely want to log on to 1063 Thunder.
Mm-hmm.
Check that out.
Yeah.
Log into our website to get the artist of the day so that you can win even more money and register to win the ultimate grand prize, a free
whole house install. Whole house generator.
Correct. Yes. Absolutely. All right. So today we are going to talk about what drives the cost of a whole house generator. Mm. Like, why are there different costs? What I was shocked. I went in, I was talking to somebody yesterday in one of the places that I went to, like, you know, personally. And the guy said to me, he goes, yeah, you know, he goes, I know a guy and he got two different prices for a generator. And then, you know, I got another friend and he got a completely different price.
Right.
And he said, shouldn't it just be the same price across the board?
Yeah.
And I was stunned to hear that. Right. And I was like, I said, no, man. And what it made me think of was like, well, that maybe that's what people think. Like, maybe a lot of people out there think like, you know, it's a pencil or it's a gallon of milk.
Right.
Like, it costs what it costs.
Right.
And that is actually not the case.
Mm-hmm.
Every house is different. Every installation is different. So I thought I might talk a little bit about what drives the cost of a generator. And I know that you are going to want to talk about the one and only Man in Black.
Yeah, the Man in Black.
Mr. Johnny Cash.
Absolutely.
Yeah, so that's going to be a good music and movies corner. So definitely stick around for that. So what drives the cost of a generator?
Yeah, what does drive the cost of a generator?
Okay, so first off, everybody thinks, for the most part, that how big their house is drives the cost of how much a generator should be. And actually, it doesn't.
Not the case.
You could have a very small house with a very, very high demand for electricity. You could have an electric stove, electric heat, electric, you know, two zones of AC.
Right.
You could have all kinds of demand, electric vehicles. You could have all kinds of demand in this little tiny house. Or you could have a really big house that's all gas,
right?
That has LED lights, that doesn't have electric vehicle charging, that doesn't have any electric range, that doesn't have an electric water heater, and the demand is, you know, is very low. So the size of the house is not what drives it.
Not a determining factor.
No. What drives it is the demand. So what drives the cost is the size of the unit.
Right.
How big is it? So 14 kilowatt, 18 kilowatt, 22 kilowatt, 24 kilowatt. And basically what those numbers are is the amount of available electricity. So if you have a typical four bedroom, two bath with, you know, one zone of AC and some other basic electric appliances, you know, an 18 or a 22 is going to be fine. And those are very easy to, you know, you could go online and just get a price for what that is retail.
Right.
But what also drives the cost, besides the size of the unit, is where it's going to go.
Right.
And this is something that we have to deal with
all
the
time.
Right. And the officers that we deal with in regard to this, zoning. Zoning officers. Because believe it or not, townships, state, they care where you put stuff on your property in a big way.
Yeah.
So the placement of, so we go to houses a lot and it'll be like, okay, I want to put the generator there.
Right.
It's like, well, we have to follow so many different rules. And one of the main rules is the placement of the and location of the unit. Where's the electric meter? Where's the gas meter? And where ultimately can we place the unit? That drives the cost.
Mm-hmm.
And like I said, the location and proximity to the existing utilities. The two utilities that we need to be close to for an electric generator are?
Gas and electric.
Correct. So where your gas meter is and where your electric meter is definitely drive the cost of, you know, where this thing is going to go. Also, the existing electrical system and conditions of your house. So if we have to get across your basement and the basement's finished with a sheetrock ceiling, well, guess what? That's tough.
It's tough.
If we have to get across the basement, but it's wide open, it's not framed, much easier. Yeah. So all these things drive the cost. So that is why every single house is different, and every single application and family lives a little bit differently than everybody else.
Right.
And so that's something that we have to take into account too. How do you live? You know, is it a senior community, or are you raising young children? Like, what, you know, like, what is your lifestyle like? So all those things together drive the cost of the unit and ultimately would determine the cost. And a big one, a really big one that I bring up to people all the time for future is electric vehicles.
Right.
So if you're a believer in electric vehicles, you think that electric vehicle is something in your future, that's also going to determine. Because the worst thing that could happen for us is that we size a generator to your current needs without any idea of what you might be doing in the future.
Right.
And 2 years from now, the generator that we put in is undersized.
Mm-hmm.
So we try to take all that into consideration. And also, just a reminder that if you are in the type of dwelling where you can't have a standby generator or a whole house generator, don't worry. Our contest for a free generator is also an $8,500 cash option, so you can just take the cash if you want to.
All right.
So that is what drives the cost of a generator, mm-hmm. and the cost of the insulation. Those are some factors, just so you guys can have an idea. That being said,
yes.
Let's talk about Johnny Cash.
Well, it happened in a cold night in Kingsland, Arkansas on February 26, 1932.
That's when old Johnny was born.
Came into this world. Although he wasn't one of the pioneers of outlaw music, he certainly encompassed what the outlaw musician is.
Okay, so when you say that he wasn't one of the pioneers of outlaw music, what
do you
mean?
He wasn't Waylon, you know, and Willie, who went to Texas and kicked it. Johnny had his own thing going on. You
well, because right, because he was getting famous with Elvis.
Oh,
like, well,
okay.
Back in the...
Oh, yeah, I was going to talk about that.
Okay.
Wait, imagine. Can you imagine being in that studio? You know, Johnny rolls in, and who was there? Carl Perkins,
right.
And Elvis, and they're working with Jerry Lee Lewis, and they just do it impromptu. Like, what? What can you imagine?
Yeah.
Like, that's really exciting. You know what I mean? That's only happened in history, like, a few times where groups of people have gotten together of that caliber, and it's like,
right, and recorded music.
Right, and recorded music.
Yeah.
He encompassed all that, you know, was what. And he wasn't in, you know, what was that? What did they wear? A rhinestone. He didn't wear rhinestone.
He wasn't Conway Twitty.
No. And he didn't, you know, toe the line that was Nashville at the time and kind of did his own thing.
Okay, so, but see, I would have thought that Johnny Cash was like the premier outlaw
guy. Well, that's what
I'm
saying.
And a pioneer, because he went to, wasn't he the first dude to do a concert in prison?
That's and that's where I was going. This is what I mean. When he encompassed all the aspects of what outlaw country is, it was Johnny Cash.
So it was like...
He just wasn't the guy who was in Texas and then, you know, developed that whole deal.
So it was like, we're all going to do what Johnny's doing, but we're going to go to Texas and do
right,
it? Is that the idea?
Kind of. And, you know, the timing frames are a little off. You know what I mean? But yeah, he went into San Quentin. He went into Folsom. Who does this? Well, Johnny did it.
Right, and then a lot of people did it afterwards.
Right.
Yeah,
right.
After that, the people did it.
So here's a question for you. Who wrote Ring of Fire?
It was his wife, June, wasn't it?
I'm really impressed. And maybe that's common knowledge.
June Carter.
It was
right,
June.
She was she came from like a family of singers.
And her sister was the first to sing it.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, so
yeah,
no, Ring
June
of Fire, great song.
And Merle something Kilgore or something like that.
Right. Who was it that the Wasn't social distortion, was it, that did Ring of Fire?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. They did a fantastic version of that.
Yeah, and that's the thing. And then so when Johnny's like career started to, you know, just fade a little bit after, you know, I'm talking after the Highwayman, which encompass all that outlaw is, you know what I mean? You know, he was you know, the big labels weren't signing him. So it was Rick Rubin.
Really?
Yeah, American Recordings, yes.
First off, if we got anything wrong about it. Give us a call and tell us. So, and that goes for any of these. That goes for any of the supposed facts that we lay out in our.
Like,
we're open to fact checks.
Just, you know, hearsay.
And so, also, you
maybe
know,
it
if,
happened.
Right, and if perchance you do want some work done, electrical work or contracting work, yeah, that's actually one of our specialties. So give us a call at 855-MCOLCA. All right, guys, take care, and don't forget to log into 106.3 Thunder.
Thunder.
Look for the artist of the day on our website at 855-MCOLCA.com. Take care.